Coming up soon, some new and potentially award-winning designs and a look around the cool world of Calvin Klein. But next, a question. We're often told that it's the simple things in life that matter, but are they really what we want? While we might appreciate the purity of a simple object, aren't we secretly taken by the one with the flashing lights and the ornate handles? For by design, Colin Bissett considers the allure of what product designers and salespeople love to refer to as special features. And in doing so, he confesses to a former obsession of his own.
Practically everything we can buy these days is advertised with a long list of features, naming anything from unique paint finishes to special badging. While they may catch our interest, they're often the least important aspect of the product. Think about how impossible it is now to buy a mobile phone that doesn't incorporate at least a camera and a music player, or a washing machine that has cycles for everything from chunky woolen sweaters to the gossamer threads of the lightest silk. And yet these extras can easily become the items about which we begin to obsess. When I was 12, for instance, the feature I craved more than anything was a fold-down central armrest in the back seat of a car. For me, it encapsulated luxury at its giddy height, enabling one to sit as if in an armchair, and was all the more alluring given that my father's car had hard vinyl bench seats. In my eyes, a folding rear armrest would improve my life 100-fold. Special features mesmerise us with this kind of magic. 50 years ago, the architect Robin Boyd famously damned such fakery in his book The Australian Ugliness, coining the phrase featureism and giving as example the way houses had ornate decoration applied to them, such as tiling or metalwork, to entertain the eye. These features had nothing to do with the actual construction of the building and were, as Boyd wrote, like the icing on a cake, dribbled over a plain base to create any look you fancied. In the utilitarian world of modernism, this was a treasonable offence. But in streets across the land, it was clear that Australians loved a good feature. After all, a swan shaped out of a tyre and displayed proudly in the rockery gave your garden a certain je ne sais quoi. And everyone knew that a Holden laden with chrome went faster in your mind's eye. We chuckle at this now, of course, because we tell ourselves that we have absorbed and understood the mantra that less is more. But has anything truly changed? Doesn't the special feature still sparkle in the waters of retail, luring us towards an item, whether it's a whole house or just a pair of shoes, and as difficult to ignore as an open box of chocolates? I was thinking this as I looked at a new Korean car, the Seoul, which is aimed at the iPod generation. It can be customised to suit its owner with numerous colour combinations and a host of stick-on embellishments to butch up or prettify the exterior. The defining feature, though, is a sound system with dashboard lights that flash in sync to the music, bringing clubland to a driveway near you. This is exactly the sort of feature that will turn off older drivers, who generally aspire to serenity wherever possible, and that's precisely what its manufacturer wants, a look-at-me car that appeals only to the young. It wasn't technology I wanted when I was 12. I was after pure luxury, and when my father let slip one day that he was considering buying another car, he couldn't have foreseen the depth of cunning he was about to unleash in his innocent-looking son. "Look at that," I said nonchalantly one breakfast time, pointing at a glossy sales brochure that I had picked up at a local car showroom. The exterior shot of the car with headlamps blazing suggested speed in the manner of fleeing a Monte Carlo heist. A centrefold unfurled to display a wide-angle shot of the interior, with a woman sitting in the back, immediately lending limousine-like credibility to the car. But of course, for me, the money shot was a close-up of the fold-down centre armrest. "What a terrible outfit," said my mother, indicating the model's baby doll evening dress. "It's got wood on the doors," I said, going in gently and confident that they would like what they saw, After all, we had wooden furniture. My father took a slurp of his tea. "Very snazzy," he said, not seeming to get the connection that all this could be his. My eyebrows rose high as I delivered my killer blow. "And there's an armrest in the back, with a cigar lighter." "We don't need a car with that," laughed my mother, checking the teapot. It was the finality of her tone that stung, and the notion that any prospective car would be vetoed, especially if it had a central armrest. "But look at the seats," I said, suddenly desperate. "They're bucket seats." I was shouting into an abyss. Their attention was taken by more pressing matters, scraping the marmalade from the bottom of the pot, refilling the kettle, wondering if it was going to rain. The topic of cars was closed. I made a tactical withdrawal and began to compile a list of any cars I thought my father could afford. At the time, the Japanese car industry was flooding the world with cars stacked with special features, such as quilted velvet upholstery and, of course, central armrests. Ignoring anything as dull as an engine, my list of cars took shape, and at last I was ready to announce my decision. It wasn't precisely Chamberlain stepping off the plane from Munich, but I did have a piece of paper in my hand, and on it was written the words, "Mitsubishi Sigma." "We're not having a Japanese car," said my father from behind his newspaper, ignoring the exploding pressure cooker of his son's head. Days later, as I was about to unleash my Alfa Romeo campaign, my father announced we were going off to buy a new car. "I've seen a Humber Scepter," he said. All I heard was, "car with folding rear armrest," and almost fainted at the thought of myself sitting in the back, arms supported on both sides, a look of ecstasy on my face. Of course it all went wrong. The car that sat next to the Humber in the showroom had go-faster stripes, sports wheels, and black paint between the rear lights, turning my mother's head with its gritty sexuality. Helplessly, I watched her working on my father to buy it, realizing that I had been outfeatured. As I began to console myself with the thought of sports wheels instead of a center armrest, my father spied something in the far corner of the showroom that hadn't even made my list of potentials. It was a Simca, a French car that had, so far as I could make out, no features whatsoever, like Robin Boyd's cake before the icing. My eyes swept over the rear seat in the vain hope that the car might have miraculously grown a centre armrest, and found none. But my father was adamant that this was the car for him, and bought it. And maybe this is the thing. While some of us love pared-back utility, many of us love everything but. Perhaps one choice is led by the head, another by the heart, and each of us decides how we wish to tip that balance. Whenever I walk past a house with columns holding up nothing more triumphal than guttering, or glance at clothes with useless buttons and fake pockets, my design consciousness is tempted to roll its eyes. "What problem is being solved here?" I sneeringly inquire. But some features take hold and become emblematic of the product itself, like that Spirit of Ecstasy statuette on a Rolls-Royce radiator. And after all, covering a chair frame entirely in fabric was once seen as a novelty, which we now take as the norm. Other features are like pop music, giving us a short burst of delight before we move on to other matters, like an unusual fabric lining a pocket, or the way some electronic equipment displays a hello or goodbye when we switch it on or off. Of course, some are longer lasting, like the rear armrest I now have in my own car. Although I never actually sit in the back, the armrest is always down, just in case my 12-year-old self decides to take a seat. "Hello, my precious," I think when I see it, appreciating the fact that, however redundant it is now, for some people, no feature is ever superfluous.
Thank you.
the never superfluous Colin Bissett. And I wonder whether there are any special features that you remember, fondly or otherwise, from your home or your vehicle. Write and tell us about it. You can find us at abc.net.au/rn/bydesign.